The Brad Sesnatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. Brian Mueller, the president of Grand Canyon University. I wanted to have a deep dive with him after the historic run for GCU. You may say, historic? What are you talking about? It's the first time they ever won the WAC, first time they've ever been to the NCAA tournament. I have continued to take the stance of, if you watch where GCU is, and President Mueller walked me around in 2009 and said, we can be Gonzaga. They're not Gonzaga yet, but I see a lot of similarities in the buildup with their fan base, with Coach Bryce Drew, another year of eligibility perhaps for a couple of their key seniors, a lot to get to. With Brian Mueller, president of GCU, that comes up in about 10 minutes. Our opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That's Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate Jeff Mishi and their support. All right, so March Madness is in the middle of everything. And the Pac-12, let's just start there. So yesterday I took in all the games. I love that the tournament is no longer a Thursday through Sunday, and I understand why they did it. For years, we would have first-round games on Thursday and Friday, second-round games on Saturday and Sunday. Little different deal. So Thursday night's the most-watched night of television in primetime. March Madness just doesn't quite move the needle as some shows do. Yeah, believe it or not, sports doesn't rule all. So, and it gives you an extra day to put down your bets and all that stuff. So they went Friday through Monday, and I like this format a lot. Yesterday, I sat here doing the show. I had the Oregon-Iowa game on last night, going right through it, watched USC against Kansas. Got a lot done, watched a lot of basketball yesterday. Really cool. Like the format. The Pac-12 went 9-1 in the opening weekend. 9-1! And you look at the nine wins and how they went about their business yesterday. And Colorado losing, and yesterday the mass shooting in Boulder. And I'm thinking, the first person I thought of was Jake Plummer. You know, Jake lives in Boulder. I texted with Jake. He's about 5 miles from where that tragedy took place yesterday. Just another awful, awful scene in our country. And those players were aware of it. Their coach, Tad Boyle, talked about it afterwards. And that's just a lot to overcome for anybody to be saying, I got to be focused on a basketball game when in your own backyard, something as gruesome and awful as that happens. And so it's not even fair to really talk basketball, but that happened to those kids yesterday. On the court in the tournament, you know, when I watch the Pac-12 play so far, Oregon, I think Oregon is the one team. It's not that UCLA hasn't surprised me. It's just, I think they got a pretty good draw in their second round game getting Abilene Christian. And so here they are in the Sweet 16. Oregon, the way that they just took apart Iowa, it wasn't even a contest. They absolutely chewed up and destroyed one of the best players in the country, a team that GCU, Iowa toyed with them. And so the Oregon game was no contest. The USC game was no contest. Like, if you're a Kansas Jayhawk fan today, Kansas Jayhawk fans are a little bit like Dallas Cowboy fans, just a little bit. Well, we're the Jayhawks. We are the bomb. We are KU. And no, you got crushed. You got destroyed, okay? Let's just call it as is. And the Mobley kids and the dad on the coaching staff, love that, all come to USC. And what do? Just ran Kansas right out of the gym. And so you look at the way that the tournament goes with Oregon State being in the Sweet 16 and these other three schools in the Pac-12 and Colorado making their run. And it was it's good to see, obviously. We could all joke that, well, once Larry Scott announced he was leaving as commissioner, they finally got their act together. If you're an Arizona State fan, I don't know what to tell you today. You know, I really don't. It was a season where you had all the hype, all the buildup, all the we've got Bagley and we've got Christopher and we got Remy and this is going to be the most amazing, awesome team. And I don't think there's any debate that Arizona State would have to go down as one of the most disappointing teams in the country this year. I mean, every other school had to have a swab stuck up their nose at 7, 8 a.m. or 8 a.m. Every other school did. You know, teams like Duke, not in the tournament. Louisville, not in the tournament. Kentucky, not in the tournament. U of A, not in the tournament. Indiana, not in the tournament. Don't need them. Don't care. You know, these programs that come in and you don't see that often get this far. Like, I think most people equate Baylor to a football school. But yet the tournament still, to me, looks like it's going to come down to Baylor against Gonzaga in the championship game. It just does. It feels that way. And so when you have the surprise story, the Cinderella, the Abilene Christian or the Loyola of Chicago, you have those schools that come in, we gravitate towards that. We want to see that. I don't know if anybody is saying, man, the tournament's not the same because Duke isn't in it this year. I don't know anybody who thinks that. Oh, anybody who says, oh, boy, I can't watch because there's no Kentucky or there's no Louisville or there's no Indiana or there's no University of Arizona. A lot of the hype that was around those programs back in the day, I think, is gone by the wayside. People gravitate towards their community. They gravitate towards the community programs. That's why Grand Canyon has as good a fan base as any school out there. I bet if GCU, they limited, I think it's to 3,000. I should ask Brian Mueller about this, but if GCU said, we're going to have a game where the only people allowed in are the Havocs, they'd sell it out. They would. And you can't say that about the University of Arizona and their student base. Student base. You can't say that about Arizona State and their student base. GCU has created this environment that every year March Madness is something that they should be pointing towards. And I think that schools wanting to play in buildings that are full of fans, and if they decide to schedule GCU, GCU is not afraid to travel. I mean, they put students on planes and sent them out there to fill seats. So you may schedule them as a home game. It's actually a road game. Now, the tournament, you know, Gonzaga is still the best team. I watched them yesterday take apart Oklahoma. Mark Few just sits there and does his thing year in and year out. 22 straight games that they've won by double digits. 22. And every year he has guys that are NBA players. Every year he's got size guys. You know, I've not seen where Dylan Anderson at Perry is going to go to high school, but I know that Gonzaga has offered him, and he fits the mold of GCU players. Fits that mold of Gonzaga players. Big dudes that can step out, hit shots, athletic on the inside, outside. Dylan I've seen since eighth grade. He's over at Perry, and he would make a lot of sense to go there. I'm not sure if that's where it's going to be, but six straight Sweet 16s for Gonzaga. And the methodical way they went about of taking Oklahoma down, Oklahoma's playing hard, but Gonzaga just, all right, you guys are going to go on a bit of a run, we'll just push you down. I think of the 16 teams that I've watched so far that I'm most entertained by outside of Gonzaga, because they are entertaining. Arkansas is entertaining. Eric Musselman, and maybe it's because I know him and know his wife a little bit. His wife actually wanted to work for us back in the day when they were here in the Valley. To see what Mus is doing at Arkansas. And of course, revisionist history. I've got some ASU fans saying, yeah, that's who we should have hired. It's easy to say. You know, be happy at Bobby Hurley. I think Bobby's done a good job here at ASU. But yeah, Mus has won at Nevada. Now he's won at Arkansas. There's no debate that Eric Musselman's one of the better coaches out there in the country, love him or hate him. So where you have the four Pac-12 teams in the Sweet 16 for the first time since, 2001. And it's fun to watch. It really is. All right, on the other side, Brian Mueller, president, Grand Canyon University. That comes up next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, welcome back. As mentioned, the historic run by Grand Canyon University, it really is. I went over there in 2009 and visited with Brian Mueller. Russ Pennell, the then head coach, said, you really need to see what they're doing. And Brian had come on board in 2008, and he walked me around the campus, and there was not much there. Antelope Gym is where they were playing their games. And we talked about a number of things, you know, including his vision of one day being Gonzaga. And that was back in 2009. And I still believe they're on the right track. If you see the trajectory of where that program was and where it is now, and it's taken years and years and years. Our conversation was 12 years ago on this front. I caught up with Brian earlier, and we were in the midst of a conversation about the growth curve of small towns or big cities embracing themselves around small universities, which I truly believe Grand Canyon has done. This was earlier today.
Texas, Arizona, Utah. These states are going to be flush with money. They're hugely supportive of higher education. We have a chance to create something really unique here. And then he was able to get with Sam Houston State, Lamar, and Abilene Christian, who've all been in the NCAA tournament. Abilene Christian did a great job this year. So bringing those four schools and then eliminating the Midwest schools, Northern California schools, we now have a very tight conference geographically. We're in a great area of the country. Texas, Arizona, and Utah is going to be growing. Their states are going to be flush with money. They're going to be supportive of higher ed. That's really important because there's a lot of mid-major conferences whose sustainability is in question because of dollars. Mm-hmm. They bought that argument, and now we sit here with the potential of, I really believe, a WCC, a Mountain West Conference. And I mean, next year, I think we can have that same level of strength with what I think we're going to do, New Mexico State, Stephen F. Austin, Abilene Christian. We've got the makings of something new and something very dynamic, which is going to help GCU tremendously. And then the second part of it was, you know, you watched Mark Few and you watched that program, but you don't get a sense of it till you go to their conference tournament. I've gone to their conference championship game, not this year, but the previous 2 years. They played BYU and they played St. Mary's. 8,000 people in the Orleans Arena, sold out, absolutely packed, and there's probably 100 fans from those other two schools. The community that they have built around that program is incredible. Now, that's Spokane, Washington, and Spokane, Washington doesn't have much else in terms of entertainment. We got four professional sports teams, but to me, it doesn't matter. Professional sports is so now out of reach for most families. Yeah. The tickets are too expensive. The food is too expensive. And God bless them. I mean, they're doing well, and there's a market there for that. Mm-hmm. But we're saying low-cost family entertainment at its best. So we'll be sold out next year. I mean, there won't be a season ticket available. The season tickets will be sold out. 3,000 Havocs will be there. And so now our chance to really take another step with that community and the community support behind that whole thing. And obviously, we got lucky with Bryce. This what he means to this thing and where this could go because of him is huge.
Okay, so realistically, Brian, I think you could open up the building and say, we only want Havocs in. And you could probably, I'm not joking on this, you could probably sell out your building with students, not sell like ticket sells. But you, if you decided to do that, I'm just throwing a marketing idea at you for one game. We're only going to let Havocs in. You'd sell it out. And to the end of the Havocs, okay, and fandom's great. And you and I are completely aligned on where college athletics is. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. High school and college is where it's at. It's just be local, local, local. And you've taken over on the west side of Camelback of I-17 and made it the local thing to be at, not just on that side of town, but in the valley. And that's a credit to what you and the marketing people have done. But I do think that the Havocs on CBS, I don't know if you've watched the game tape back yet, but the announcers were just salivating over fans being in the stands and two plane loads coming out and just showing the excitement and enthusiasm. You could tell, okay, this is a national TV network's dream, and I'm sure you're going to have them knock on your door a little bit more than you did before the tournament.
With all the social media and all of the struggles that kids are having, because many of them haven't been in school, so it's exasperated the whole thing. But the connectivity of people living in community. I'm from Milwaukee, and you know, Milwaukee and Chicago, there were neighborhoods. Yeah. You know, there were communities. People took care of each other. They knew each other. And we live in a sprawling suburban kind of a. And kids just college campus, oh my goodness, you know, things are going online and we're using technology, but kids want to be on college campuses. That's what COVID is one of the things that it's demonstrated to us. But it's that becoming part of a community and being part of something like that, where relationships are built, people feel positive about the thing. That's what this is. You know, if you look at a lot of fan sections, student fan sections, it's a lot of guys because guys like basketball.
Yeah.
We got a lot of guys that like basketball. We got more girls in our fans than we got guys in our fans because they love being part of the community. I tell people you got to create a rave and a basketball game will hopefully break out. But the kids want to be part. It's like chapel. When we open up in September next year, there'll be 7,500 kids in that arena for chapel. And they love being together and part of a community. That's what basketball has become. It's provided a platform to make that community even stronger. That's a different way of thinking about it. But I would suggest to other people to give it some thought because when you can get people to rally around a common objective and they all feel like they're part of it, like our student, our Havocs, they got their own organization. They get a president, vice president, yeah. Secretary, treasurer, marketing people. I meet with them once a month and they bring their ideas to me and I give them feedback on their ideas. Well, I tell them, this is your group, man. It's yours. This is your deal. You're creating a national brand here. And because they feel like it's theirs, the ownership, you know, takes things to a new level.
Yeah. I've had the Havoc president on the show the last few years. It's just, it's just something that's different and unique that, that I think a story that needs to be told more. I want to get a couple other things and then I'll let you go. Brian Mueller's with us, president of Grand Canyon University. You said earlier you got lucky with Bryce. Walk me through that because when Dan left, and I put it this way, I wrote about this and had a lot of feedback. Russ Pennell was the right guy in 2009. Dan Marley was the right guy in 2012. I remember sitting on a plane in Las Vegas and Jerry called me and he said, we're making a move. And I said, I had heard Russ is gone. He said, we're bringing in Dan. I'm on the plane. I said, Jerry, I got to hang up. It's the right move. You don't need to explain. I understand. Dan was the right guy at the time. In building, and those guys had to go through things like CTI and CBI and these little tournaments, which is fine. And the building came along. Bryce was the right guy at the right time. You know, I wrote about a coach, I'm not even going to say his name, last year that has a tie here to the Valley. I will say his name. I wrote that Randy Bennett would be a good choice. And when Bryce came aboard, it was, okay, like what he's all about. He's done the TV thing. That's going to help for him understanding the space. He's hungry because he got away. I was surprised at just how hungry he was in dealing with him this year, Brian. Some guys come in, it's like, yeah, okay, I'm back in, but that wasn't him.
No. He's been around basketball practices since he was 2-3 years old. Homer is his dad is a legend in Indiana. He's in the NCAA Basketball Hall of Fame. He's an unbelievable guy. Him and Scott, his brother, who's coaching at Baylor, have been around this game since they were infants. They understand it up one side and down the other, and they are connected into the basketball community around the world in a very, very special way. Obviously, he played for his dad. He was an assistant with his dad, and then he became the head coach. He did a fantastic job. He went to four tournaments, postseason tournaments, and then he got a chance to go to Vanderbilt. He could have gone other places. He had in mind Vanderbilt's academic reputation and he was thinking about Duke. But then what he did was, and this is what I tell that he recruited two kids to Vanderbilt that were drafted in the first round of the NBA in the first 15 picks. He had to beat out Kentucky. He had to beat out Duke. He had to beat out North Carolina. He had to beat out all the blue bloods to get those two kids. Now, they both got hurt. And so you're not going to be as deep in a place like Vanderbilt as you are in a place like Kentucky. And you get two kids that are number one draft choice hurt, you're going to have a bad year. He had a bad year. When they let him go, they brought in a new athletic director who brought in his buddy. I knew instantly that was a mistake. I started to tell Jerry, I said, listen, he's the guy if we can get him. He is the guy. As soon as, you know, we had lost in the tournament and made the move, we called and, He is an incredibly faith-based individual. There's not a lot of places that you can go to and have your faith on your sleeve like he does. And this is where he wanted to be. I mean, people talk about he's going to go someplace. This is where he wants to be. And the fact that he could get those three assistants to come with him. So I say we're lucky because Vanderbilt made a huge mistake. And we were the recipients then of that mistake. He was on the phone. You know, there's three things you got to do in college coaching, right? Number one, you got to get players. You got to get the players. Number two, you got to develop them. Number three, you got to get them to play together. And so those three things, but the first part of it is you got to get players. Well, he signed a four-star kid that was being recruited by half the Big Ten schools. Jalen Blackmon is the all-time leading scorer now in the history of Indiana high school basketball. He averaged almost 35 points a game this year. Kobe Knox is a four-star kid out of Tampa, Florida, whose brother is playing in the NBA. He's a nonstop, relentless recruiter. And that's where it starts. And for a lot of guys, that's just, they're not going to put that kind of work into the first part of the process. And if you don't get that done, you can only go so far.
Yeah.
But he is a nonstop, relentless recruiter. And the other guys are as well. And what he understands, because he's been around, is Spokane, Washington is fine, but this is Phoenix, Arizona. We got a destination city. We have a destination state. This campus that we put $1.5 billion into in the last 8 years has been ranked the seventh nicest campus in the country. And then when you think about our arena, our fan base, the backing and the wisdom of Jerry Colangelo, the new Western Athletic Conference as a conference, we're on the precipice here. Bryce said after the game, you know, this is the best kept secret in college basketball. And so, we're beyond excited. You probably can tell that we're beyond excited at what could happen in the next 5 years.
A couple other things. So Mittgard is a senior, however, another year of eligibility has been granted by the NCAA. Brian, could we see him come back?
Those two guys played too good. They played too good. him and Alessandro. I mean, if they were Americans, maybe. But because they're Europeans, they can go back and make big money. And they're both getting married. One's engaged officially and going to get married. And the other one's got a girlfriend. And when Mittgard came here, he was 3 years at Wichita State and hadn't played hardly at all. Casey Shaw started working with him. He couldn't hit 50% of his free throws, not even close. He ended up a 75% percent free throw shooter. That jump hook that he's got, he scored that over Garza easily.
Yeah.
He's got good footwork. He can catch the ball. He's 270 pounds. There's hardly an ounce of fat on him. This guy, NBA, I don't know, eventually, probably not the first year out, but he's just getting started with basketball. And he's a great, great kid. He's a relentless worker, as is Alessandro. Alessandro's nickname was, you know, first in, last out. And that's the way he's been for 4 years. He's got to get a little bit more strength in his upper body, I think. But he's a legitimate 6'10 stretch four that's got a great stroke. I mean, he can really shoot it. So, yeah, it would be nice to have those two guys back. But they got to do what's best for them. I think the likelihood is not great because of how good they played. But we'll get two or three bigs.
Yeah, All right. One bid out of the whack. So, you know, getting over that hurdle where it's either you win the championship game or not and becoming that at large. Gonzaga faced the same thing in the early days. I go back to them. How do you get through that? Is it simply we can't just go blow through the conference? The conference is going to be much more difficult. You know, as you mentioned, the Texas teams, I think, are a game changer. You and I have talked in the past about scheduling. I know Jerry's helped quite a bit. Do you have to up that to include more blue bloods? Because the resumes got to read in November and December. Wow, look at what they did in November and December. And if you don't win the conference championship, you can still make it as an at-large. I know you always want to win the conference championship, but you got to have a plan B, right? So walk me through that, because I'm sure you've discussed it or thought about it.
absolutely. The weakness in college basketball right now is the environment. And it's true in football too. All across the country, kids aren't going games, and people aren't filling arenas. Those four schools that we brought in, they have legitimate big time Division I arenas. And many of them are in small towns where they're the only show in town. That was part of the plan. We have to build a conference. The kids want to play in front of fans. They want to play in Division I legitimate arenas. They want to play where they're going to get exposure. I have taken a leadership role in our conference and I'm encouraging people about that as our calling card. We've got to build a conference. I don't know if you remember, I was from the Midwest. And I remember the Missouri Valley Conference many, many years ago. Drake and Bradley and those places were packed all the time in the middle of winter. We got to create that here. I won't mention names, but you know, even West Coast Conference. I mean, if you look at the bottom of the league, mm-hmm. nobody cares. You got high school gyms. And there's a lot of nobody cares. We've got presidents in this league. We've got athletic directors. We've got arenas to work with, where I think we've got to build 12 schools that really care about this, are willing to invest in this. You know, we're going to have football in the WAC. We're not going to play football because there's no money in football. There's no NCAA money in football. The money's all in basketball. And I think our presidents understand that. It's a feast or famine. You get two teams in and you win a couple games, the money flows for 7 years. And that can help support everything else you do in your athletic program. And so I think we have a new conference with a new set of schools and presidents who are going to make a commitment to this thing. If you look back a couple years, the Mountain West was, they had 2, 3, 4 teams in with San Diego State, New Mexico, and all those schools. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. People say, well, the Big East, they get 4, 5, 6 schools in. We're not going to do that next year, but that's got to be what we build towards, because that's where the money is.
Yeah. No, it's and I think that goes back to scheduling, that you got to really beef it up and push the narrative out there. Look, Grand Canyon made it into this conference. They're coming into town. You need to see and be in this arena, or GCU is going to bring their own fan base here and pack it out. You know, I totally see that happening. Look, I appreciate all the time and insight and congratulations. Great to catch up. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
This is Brian Mueller and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, a few things. I appreciate Brian Mueller's time. And, you know, I'm getting some notes about, man, you know, you don't give ASU this much time. That's not true. If Michael Crow wants to come on, it's fine. We'll do a deep dive with Mike. President Crow's been on before. Last time, I think it was in Vegas, at the Vegas Bowl a few years ago. But what a great story over at GCU. It's great for the community. You have to understand this. There's some that just don't get that I don't care about school allegiance. I don't. I care about fans here in the Valley. And look, as someone who did send a daughter through Grand Canyon University, yeah, but I sent a son through Arizona State. So, you know, I'm going to be at U of A tonight. I'm going to head down there for their football, their first night of football, because it's important. It's important to see what Jeb Fish is doing down there. So, I'll be in Tucson tonight. The Suns have the trade deadline on Thursday. Everybody's weighing in as to whether or not they should make moves. And I am of the opinion that they should. I'm always looking at rosters and not in a lens of, wow, they look really good in March. No, basketball in March is not the same as basketball when you get to late April, May, and June. The deeper you go, you've got to have a little bit more. And I think this team still needs a little bit more grit and nastiness. I do. You know, Jay Crowder is one of my favorite players. I love watching him play. Kaminsky's fine enough. But this is a roster that could use. I was hoping that P.J. Tucker, and there are some people that didn't like P.J. when he was here. But there's reasons why guys like P.J. Tucker go from team to team to team. You guys know that if you've watched this for any amount of time, I was never a fan of the Morris brothers when they were here. But there are grit guys that are on rosters that are able to take teams deep in the playoffs. A guy like Jared Dudley was a fan favorite here. Jared Dudley is over on the Laker roster. He's still hurt. He comes back every year because guess what? He's a glue guy. He's just one of these guys that you can bring in or sit on the bench. He's not going to cause any problems. He's going to get into guys. He's a pro. And so I look at that one position because I still don't trust DeAndre Ayton. Still don't. And he's never been in that spotlight of postseason. Don't give me the, well, he was in the bubble last year. That's not going to equate when the Suns end up playing the Lakers in a seven-game series. That's not going to equate. It just won't. So I think having a bit more grit on this roster at that position, and yeah, you have to make it through without being injured. The injury bug can bite this team at any point in time. But they play Miami tonight. If Thursday they get a little bit tougher and grittier, I'm good with that. The roster they have right now, look, if they make it to the second round of the playoffs this year, that's a good season for them. It's a great season for them. Remember, this is a team that hasn't had a playoff game since May 27th, 2010. To keep reminding people of that. Not, oh, it's so great. It's March. Come on. Come on now. Are you paid to be a journalist or are you paid to be a cheerleader? There's a big difference. Are you on the team payroll or are you on the media company that you work for payroll? So let's just see a little too much excitement about, oh, this is awesome and amazing. It's great. It's great. I'm not being party pooper here. But realistically, when you're as bad as they've been for so many years and you still don't have all the pieces in place yet, regular season NBA basketball is not the same as postseason by any stretch of the imagination. So make something happen. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. Brian Mueller was our guest today, and he was terrific. If you're just catching this show for the first time, it repeats it's like 5 minutes from now for the next 24 hours. And our website is sports360az.com, sports360az.com. Our television show is on Fox Sports Arizona. It starts airing tonight. It airs 12 to 14 times every week. We're in our sixth year of our partnership with FSAZ. We appreciate them, and we are self-funded. That means when you see these commercials, and I talk about Desert Financial Credit Union, all of our partners support what we do, and we encourage you to support them. Have yourself a great day.